Chapter 50. Motives nor my actions, that I take the liberty to look in upon you to express a hope that your dinner was to your liking. Though not professed but plain, still her wages should be a sufficient object to her to stimulate to soar above mere roast and mild. Apostrophe, we dined very well indeed. Apostrophe, said Rosa, thank you. Apostrophe, accustomed. Apostrophe, said Miss Twinkleton with a gracious air, which to the jealous ears of the Billiken seemed to add my good woman accustomed to a liberal and nutritious, yet plain and salutary diet. We have found no reason to bemoan our absence from the ancient city and the methodical household in which the quiet routine of our lot has been hitherto cast. Apostrophe, I did think it well to mention to my cook, apostrophe, observed the Billiken with a gush of candor, which I hope you will agree with, Miss Twinkleton, was a right precaution, that the young lady being used to what we should consider here but poor diet, had better be brought forward by degrees. For, a rush from scanty feeding to generous feeding, and from what you may call messing to what you may call method, do require a power of constitution which is not often found in youth, particular when undermined by boarding school. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it will be seen that the Billiken now openly pitted herself against Miss Twinkleton, as one whom she had fully ascertained to be her natural enemy. Your remarks, apostrophe, returned Miss Twinkleton, from a remote moral eminence, are well meant, I have no doubt. But you will permit me to observe that they develop a mistaken view of the subject, which can only be imputed to your extreme want of accurate information. Apostrophe, my information, apostrophe, retorted the Billiken, throwing in an extra syllable for the sake of emphasis at once polite and powerful. My information, Miss Twinkleton, were my own experience, which I believe is usually considered to be good guidance. But whether so or not, I was put in youth to a very genteel boarding school, the mistress being no less a lady than yourself, of about your own age, or it may be some years younger, and a poorness of blood flowed from the table which has run through my life. Apostrophe, very likely, apostrophe, said Miss Twinkleton, still from her distant eminence, and very much to be deplored. Rosa, my dear, how are you getting on with your work? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Miss Twinkleton, apostrophe, resumed the Billiken, in a courtly manner, before retiring on the int, as a lady should, I wish to ask of yourself, as a lady, whether I am to consider that my words is doubted? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am not aware on what ground you cherish such a supposition, apostrophe, began Miss Twinkleton, when the Billiken neatly stopped her. Do not, if you please, put suppositions betwixt my lips, where none such have been imparted by myself. Your flow of words is great, Miss Twinkleton, and no doubt is expected from you by your pupils, and no doubt is considered worth the money. No doubt, I am sure. But not paying for flows of words, and not asking to be favored with them here, I wish to repeat my question. Apostrophe, if you refer to the poverty of your circulation, apostrophe, began Miss Twinkleton, when again the Billiken neatly stopped her. I have used no such expressions. Apostrophe, if you refer, then, to the poorness of your blood, apostrophe, brought upon me, apostrophe, stipulated the Billiken, expressly, at a boarding school, apostrophe, then, apostrophe, resumed Miss Twinkleton, all I can say is, that I am bound to believe, on your asseveration, that it is very poor indeed. I cannot forbear adding, that if that unfortunate circumstance influences your conversation, it is much to be lamented, and it is eminently desirable, that your blood were richer. Rosa, my dear, how are you getting on with your work? Apostrophe, apostrophe, hem. Before retiring, Miss, apostrophe, proclaimed the Billiken to Rosa, loftily cancelling Miss Twinkleton, I should wish it to be understood between yourself and me, that my transactions in future is with you alone. I know no elderly lady here, Miss, none older than yourself. Apostrophe, a highly desirable arrangement, Rosa, my dear, apostrophe, observed Miss Twinkleton. It is not, Miss, apostrophe said the Billiken, with a sarcastic smile, that I possess the mill I have heard of, in which old single ladies could be ground up young. What a gift it would be to some of us, but that I limit myself to you totally. Apostrophe, when I have any desire to communicate a request to the person of the house. Rosa, my dear, apostrophe, observed Miss Twinkleton with majestic cheerfulness, I will make it known to you, and you will kindly undertake, I am sure, that it is conveyed to the proper quarter. Apostrophe, good evening, miss, apostrophe, said the Billiken, at once affectionately and distantly. Being alone in my eyes, I wish you good evening with best wishes, and do not find myself drove, I am truly happy to say, into expressing my contempt for an individual, unfortunately for yourself, belonging to you. Apostrophe, the Billiken gracefully withdrew with this parting speech, and from that time Rosa occupied the restless position of shuttlecock between these two battledores. Nothing could be done without a smart match being played out. Thus, on the daily arising question of dinner, Miss Twinkleton would say, the three being present together, perhaps, my love, you will consult with the person of the house, whether she can procure us a lamb's fry, or, failing that, a roast fowl. Apostrophe, on which the Billiken would retort, Rosa not having spoken a word, if you was better accustomed to butcher's meat, miss, you would not entertain the idea of a lamb's fry. Firstly, because lambs has long been sheep, and secondly, because there is such things as killing days, and there is not. As to roast fowls, miss, why you must be quite surfeited with roast fowls, letting alone your buying, when you market for yourself, the agitest of poultry with the scaliest of legs, quite as if you was accustomed to picking them out for cheapness. Try a little invention, miss. Use yourself to housekeeping a bit. Come now, think of something else. Apostrophe, to this encouragement, offered with the indulgent toleration of a wise and liberal expert, Miss Twinkleton would rejoin, reddening. Or, my dear, you might propose to the person of the house a duck. Apostrophe, well, miss. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the Billiken would exclaim, still no word being spoken by Rosa, you do surprise me, when you speak of ducks. Not to mention, that they are getting out of season and very dear, it really strikes to my heart, to see you have a duck, for the breast, which is the only delicate cuts in a duck, always goes in a direction which I cannot imagine where, and your own plate comes down so miserably skin and bony. Try again, miss. Think more of yourself, and less of others. A dish of sweetbreads now, or a bit of mutton. Something at which you can get your equal chance. Apostrophe, occasionally the game would wax very brisk indeed, and would be kept up with a smartness rendering such an encounter as this quite tame. But the Billiken almost invariably made by far the higher score, and would come in with side hits of the most unexpected and extraordinary description, when she seemed without a chance. All this did not improve the gritty state of things in London, or the air that London had acquired in Rosa's eyes of waiting for something that never came. Tired of working, and conversing with Miss Twinkleton, she suggested working and reading, to which Miss Twinkleton readily assented, as an admirable reader, of tried powers. But Rosa soon made the discovery that Miss Twinkleton didn't read fairly. She cut the love scenes, interpolated passages in praise of female celibacy, and was guilty of other glaring pious frauds. As an instance in point, take the glowing passage. Ever dearest and best adored, said Edward, clasping the dear head to his breast, and drawing the silken hair through his caressing fingers, from which he suffered it to fall like golden rain, ever dearest and best adored, let us fly from the unsympathetic world, and the sterile coldness of the stony hearted, to the rich warm paradise of trust and love. Apostrophe, Miss Twinkleton's fraudulent version tamely ran thus. Ever engaged to me with the consent of our parents on both sides, and the approbation of the silver-haired rector of the district, said Edward, respectfully raising to his lips the taper fingers, so skillful in embroidery, Tambor, crotchet, and other truly feminine arts, let me call on thy papa ere tomorrow's dawn has sunk into the west, and propose a suburban establishment, lowly it may be, but within our means, where he will be always welcome as an evening guest, and where every arrangement shall invest economy, and constant interchange of scholastic acquirements with the attributes of the ministering angel to domestic bliss. Apostrophe, as the days crept on and nothing happened, the neighbors began to say that the pretty girl at Billiken's, who looked so wistfully and so much out of the gritty windows of the drawing room, seemed to be losing her spirits. The pretty girl might have lost them, but for the accident of lighting on some books of voyages and sea adventure. As a compensation against their romance, Miss Twinkleton, reading aloud, made the most of all the latitudes and longitudes, bearings, winds, currents, offsets, and other statistics which she felt to be none the less improving, because they expressed nothing whatever to her, while Rosa, listening intently, made the most of what was nearest to her heart. So they both did better than before. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.